Ephesians this evening, chapter number 4, the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. We're going to start reading this evening in verse number 12. If you would stand with us, we'll honor the reading of the Word of God found over in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4 and verse number 12. Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says that he gave some for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. I'm glad I'm in a ministry tonight that works. And for the edifying of the body of Christ, uplifting the body. He says, till we all come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, of the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, and may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body to edifying of itself in love. Thank you for standing this evening. Father, I want to pray tonight. I want to be especially careful to remember those that are hurting. Lord, it seems that every family in this church has an issue. God, they have a circumstance. But I want to pray specifically tonight for the McMillan family. God, in the body, realizing if one hurt, we all hurt. And there's a mom and daddy with their heart tore out tonight. I pray you'd touch that family. Help them like only you can help them. Thank you for Brother Larry and Miss Barbara, what they've done at this church. I want to thank you for them. And I pray that you would help them tonight like only you can. And then, Lord, little Haley, you know where she is this evening. And God, it's a bad situation. Touch Miss Christine, Miss Charlotte, help them, give them direction. And I pray for that young child, Lord, you would help her. And God, we want to pray for the Partain family. And Lord, that's not taking you by surprise. We realize that tonight, but would you help them? Like only you can. Help those on our prayer list. Thank you for doing what you've done here Sunday night. Thank you, Lord, for moving on us. And I pray that you continue that. Many people lost, Lord, no doubt. Help us to be a church and reach a community. God, a country. Help us now. Help me tonight in the teaching. My feebleness, would you use it? God, would you let me be a blessing tonight? And touch Brother Jason out back, every teacher. We'll be careful to honor you and thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you'll notice in the reading this evening, verse 15, speaking the truth in love, seems like we live in a society when it's become untimely to tell the truth. Seems like that. We live in a society that morals are fastly leaving. And I want to say it's still all right to preach the truth in love. Amen. And then doctrine is very important. He said, verse 14, he said, if you've got doctrine, you won't be pulled out by the sleight of men. And we talked about doctrine and we talked about development. Verse 15, he says, you know, I want you to grow up into Christ. He is our role model. He's our Savior. He's our captain. He's our hero. He's the measuring stick. I'm not the measuring stick. You're not. Didn't say you grow up and to be grow up into be Ken Bowman. He said, but you grow up in to be like Christ. And certainly, I think we ought to try our best to live what we preach. Amen. Nothing wrong with holy, separated living. And certainly, in verse 16, I want to deal with that we didn't get through last week, a few thoughts. from whom the whole body fitly joined. Now this whole body, there's diversity. We have fingers, and we have a hand, we have eyes, ears, feet, limbs, etc., organs. And certainly the whole body, there is diversity. Now, Paul's vision of the body of Christ is of unity, which consists in diversity. And certainly we can have diversity, but we've got to have unity. That's one of the biggest problems with our country tonight. You know, I heard the president's speech last evening. Thought he had a lot of good things to say. And, you know, I feel like that he said probably a mouthful when he said the truth about the House divided. We have Democrats one side, we have Republicans the other, and the world going no place. And so it is in a church. You know, we can have diversity, but we got to have unity. I'm glad we've got different individuals, but we've got to have unity. Amen. And so many people today think themselves as individuals rather than a part of the body of Christ. Christianity is not every man for himself. It's every man together for Christ. And so this body's got to function, and it's got to go in the same direction. And so the whole body, there's diversity. We spoke about information. I'm glad that he's informed us that we are the body of Christ. I want to tell you, the Baptist, I am a Baptist, but certainly Baptists are not the only saved people tonight. And it's the whole body. Those that are blood washed by the blood of the Lamb are in the body of Christ. And so there's information. Number two then, not only information, but we see insistence. Insistence. The body, the Bible says in this verse that it is fitly joined together. It is compacted. It means it's knit together. In other words, it has to be. There's insistence. There's some things that has to be. Now, we've got to be at peace with God, and we've got to be at peace with each other. I told people here at this funeral this week, I said, you know something? I want to die right with God, and I want to die right with you. Amen. And so we've seen some verses, and one of the key verses that really stood out last week, how can we love God in whom we've not seen if we hate our brother in whom we have seen? Now, we love him because he first loved us, and we ought to love one another. I've said this a lot of times. We don't have to grill out with each other, but we got to love each other. And you're certainly human, and there's people that you enjoy being around more than others, but we need everybody. And we must love everybody. The Bible teaches us to love. Matter of fact, we must love sinners. We don't love their sin, but we've got to love sinners. And we must take care of our relationships and be quick to clean them up of their offenses. We must make right our wrongs so that the unity of the Spirit is not disrupted. There's nothing that can tear a church up more than hurt feelings, animosity and anger and bitterness with a brother and a sister. The Holy Spirit must have freedom to move. And I'm convinced in that we must keep that in the forefront at all times. You know something? We've got too much here to lose, church. We've got, you know, people wear feelings on their shoulders. I've heard a lot of time, well, you know, my feelings got hurt, I won't be back. Well, the lady that checked you out at Walmart, has she ever offended you? You went back there. And people's just looking for a reason to cop out and get out of church. And we know that. But we've got to realize he's wanting us to grow up and get above our hurt feelings. And realize that we've got to make our wrongs right. Divisions in the church always breed atheism in the world. Satan always hates Christian fellowship. It's his policy to keep Christians apart. Anything which can divide saints from one another, Satan delights in. Since union is strength, he does his best to promote separation. Now, some of you may not understand this tonight, but there's people here that really encourage me. And there's people here that I count on being here. There's people, a lot of times it may seem strange to you that I come and say, what do you think about this? Or how's this? Or am I crazy? Am I the only one that feels this way? It does me a lot of good that somebody is here to help and support me. And so it is with you. You need that in your life and in your daily walk with the Lord Jesus. A man asked me one time, he said, Pastor, and I'll never forget, he kneeled down by my chair. He said, somebody told me if I still want alcohol, I'm not saved. Well, that's not right. We got flesh. It does me good to see other people battling with things that I battle with. And I think a lot of times preachers, I preach a transparent outline. What you see is what you get. I think a lot of times preachers try to be so phony that they don't have the issue. Well, sure, me and my wife have spats. Not near as many as we used to, Brother Driver. But we've had some pretty good ones. I mean some pretty good ones. Amen. And I've done learned that she's always right, so I just keep my mouth shut. Amen. And you know, this old flesh is just not saved. It wants to do ugly things. And this mouth still wants to say ugly things. And this mind think ugly things. And that's why we need each other. And we need each other here doing each other's part. Now, this insistence, it's fitly joined together. It's compacted. It has to be. And then, thirdly, not only do we see this whole body, there's diversity, there's the information, and it's fitly compacted, there's insistence. I mean, it just has to be. It's made that way. It's made to be that way. And then thirdly, there are instruments. Look what he says in verse number 16. He says, every joint supplieth. There are instruments. Every brick is in place in the wall. Every gear is doing what it's called to do. I challenged you last week. I'd given you a website to look at your spiritual gifts. Some of you told me Sunday what they were. And certainly, I think that everybody here ought to know your motivational gift. What drives you? What is your mainline motivational gift? We are all instruments. And boy, when you get all the right instruments playing the right tune and being in the right part, you've got a lot better sounding group. I believe our church is at a place tonight, and I'm as honest with you as I know how to be. I've never seen our church working better than what it's working tonight. God has sent us young men to take of our young people. I mean, you've seen how the choir is doing, the young choir, what a blessing they were. We see so many ministries that are working and ministering. And God's a moving. And I'll be honest with you, I'm thrilled to death and I'm scared to death. And long as we realize that we're human and we're facing a real devil, and we are instruments for God. Now watch what he says. Every joint supply, every joint he's put on my body is a need. You that has been with me, you know I had surgery July. I wish that it was 110%. I know I got some whining characteristics. Shake your head, hon. That's right. I know I do. But it's just not perfectly adjusted yet. And I've noticed when this instrument is broke down, it affects everything I've got. Amen. I mean, so it is in the church. If we have one instrument, if we have one member that is lagging or that is hurting, it affects the whole body. We think we don't need that little pinky, but buddy, you mash it off with a hammer. And see, I mean, that thing will hurt all the way up into your jaw. Amen. I never knew what a dentist drill could do to the whole body. Man, I'd rather hoe a garden than go to the dentist. Somebody say amen. There ain't enough Novocaine in a bottle to get me dead.
And so if you think about it, we need all instruments working together. Now, you ought to find your gifts. And you ought to get into your gift and you ought to operate. Look, if you would, tonight in Romans chapter number 12. Romans 12 and verse number 3. You ought to realize your main motivational gift, that runs you, that operates you. We find in Romans 12 and verse number 3, Paul saying, "For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." That's good advice, isn't it? "But to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, fingers, toes, eyes, ears, all members have not the same office. My ears don't see, they hear." Now watch. "So we being many are one body in Christ, everyone members one of another. Having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us." Now a lot of people, I think a lot of times they feel inferior to other people. Just because some people are operating in gifts that God has given them. Everybody can't sing. Somebody say amen right there. Everybody can't preach. Everybody can't teach. And, you know, everybody is not born a natural encourager. Somebody called me this week and they said, "You know what? I invited a family to our church." The family that are the church that they've been attending, they've been there some 3 or 4 weeks. They said they think 5 people has come by their pew and shook their hand in that time frame of visiting. Well, their church is the size of our church. And let me tell you something. You say, "Well, preacher, I'm not geared that way." Well, make yourself be friendly. You know, just being friendly, doing right's not a gift. It's just old-fashioned right. Amen. We got families come in and sit here. You ought to be sure you get by their pew. Amen. And you know something? That is so lack. We ought to not be waiting on being friendly to somebody. Well, that's not my gift. It's my gift to be rude. Amen. God ain't give us no gift to be rude to nobody. Amen. And so that's not what I'm talking about, but we ought to find out our main motivational gift. I took the test, which I knew what it was, and it's right there in leadership and prophecy. I have no problem leading. I've never had no problem leading. I mean, I'll just jump in and say, "Hey, charge." Amen. There's a lot of time I've charged, Brother Tim. I wish I'd had somebody taking the notes and telling me how to do it. But that's my mentality. That's my gear. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of times I don't understand when people is not geared like me, but I've got to realize they're not geared like me. I mean, I just wonder a lot of times, Brother David's geared a lot like me, and they several in here, Brother Lee is. I don't understand why people ain't bouncing off the chandelier, Brother Dennis is. I don't understand why people ain't bouncing off the chandelier when meeting breaks out. Man, people just sitting there like, "Man, this is great. You know, it's just so good. It's just happening everywhere." I said, "No, it ain't happening everywhere. You ought to get excited about it." Then I get to thinking, you know, all our gifts are so different. My wife's full of mercy. I don't have... The older I get, the softer I'm getting. I know that. I've realized that about me, Brother Randall. But Miss Renee's just a natural mercy gift. But the older that she's been a preacher's wife or a pastor, she's getting harder. That's the truth, buddy. She'll tell you to hush your whining in a minute. Used to, you know, she'll say, "Oh, honey, you know, just now," she says, "you ain't hard enough." What's happening? God is developing her. But her main gift is that of mercy. Mine is in leadership and prophecy. I mean, man... I'm type fella, swing the sword, cut his head off. Let's move on to bigger ground. And if you're not careful, a man like me, he'll be like a bull in a china shop. Like some of you, you can go and shake your little poodle head too. We got to think about what we're doing. We got to think about what other people are going through. Well, you know, a lot of times everybody says this, I know what I'd do if I was him. No, you don't, because you ain't him. You ain't got a clue what you'd do because you ain't them. Everybody knows how to handle the barrier to get a hold of it. Now watch this. Having then gifts differing according to the grace. God is not going to send 400 prophets in here. Could you imagine a ministry with 400 prophets? And no giving, no helps, no mercy? Could you imagine a sinner walk in? We need different gifts. God gives us different gifts to complete the body. I'll be honest with you. I've often wondered, God, I'm going to tell you, one of the hardest positions in a church beside probably piano and organ is ministry for young people. It's hard to find a young man with old man morals, Brother Gerald. Most of these young boys, all they know is just swaying and clapping. We ought to thank God that He sent us Brother Jason, a young man with good morals, got his head screwed on right, and wanting to do something for Jesus the old-time way. I could have got 200 youth pastors, but we need the right one. And so God sends us what we need. And certainly, look what He says now. Having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. You say, well, preacher, I want to do something and I'm in a hurry to do it. Be careful, wait on your ministry. You know, when I first started preaching, Brother Lee, I wondered why that somebody hadn't called me to pastor in 3 weeks. And I mean, I'm ready. Hey, let's go. I know it all. Wait on our ministry. And so he says this, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, or he that teacheth on teaching. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now then, I want to talk about these instruments. I'm going to cover a few gifts tonight that will cover the whole body of Christ. Number one is administration. It means to steer the body forward toward the accomplishment of God-given goals and directives by planning, organizing, and supervising others. You know, I'll be honest with you. I'm not too good on note-taking. This thing of administration and file work, you know what my file is? The glove box of my Suburban. If I can't find it, it's under there somewhere or above the sun. Some of you look at me like, how do you make it? Well, my wife is a very organized person. And you know, people used to, when I work around those real organized people, you know, we'd walk in the marketplace and I may say 7 things and they're trying to note. I said, look, quit writing all that down. Just get it done. But our gifts are different. Administration. Maybe you're an administrative type person. You're very valuable in the body of Christ. We need organization. We need somebody to keep up with things. Lord, as many people going in and out of this church, somebody say amen. We need somebody keeping up with that. Amen. Discernments. To clearly distinguish truth from error, you'll find out that God will give you a gift of discernment and you'll be able to detect error. In other words, you can spot a phony real quick. Somebody get up and they're putting on a show. You'll find it out just like that. Discernment. Boy, we need people with discernment. And let me tell you something. Young Christians don't have a lot of discernment. We need to learn discernment in the house of God when what God is wanting. It's very, very, very important for men in leadership to know about discernment. What's God wanting this service to do? Where's God wanting this service to go? That comes with walking with the Lord, being close with the Lord, being able to listen to what He's wanting to get accomplished. Discernment. That you may discern things. Then evangelism. Let's look in Ephesians 4 and 11. Ephesians 4 and verse number 11. The Bible says in verse 12, He says, for the perfecting of the saints, verse 13, till we all come into the unity of the faith. Now look in verse number 11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Let me tell you, an evangelist is very important. You take a brother Dana Williams, brother Dean McNeese. God has not really called them men to be pastors. He's called them to evangelize. Every pastor is encouraged, 1 Timothy 2, to do the work of an evangelist. I'm glad God has opened doors for me that I can go out to different places and evangelize. I thank God for that. But my main role is the pastor. That's my heart. Let me tell you, Sunday night, these babies getting saved, these little old young'uns coming to me after service. Let me tell you, that's just my heart. You're my heart. Thank God He's opened doors around this country for me to go to pray. But you're my heart. Evangelism. Now, exhortation. Romans 12 and 8, we find that word exhortation. It means to come alongside someone with encouragements, comfort, consolation, and counsel to help them be all God wants them to be. Listen, folks. I'm not going to teach you alone tonight, but please just listen to what little time I've got with you tonight. How we need to exhort one another to serve God and to do right. Our young people, did you notice that youth choir Sunday night and how God has blessed us with it? We ought to be encouraging them young ones. Miss Sherry said something off the piano Sunday night. A lot of them young ones needed to hear. Encourage them. So what? They don't hit every note. Neither do you. Encourage them. Listen to me, young preacher's going to get up and they're going to strike out and totally miss it. Quit looking at me over there like I'm crazy and why did I let them get up? They got to have their turn and try. I've never heard one preacher yet say everything that I agreed with. I don't even say everything I agree with. Let me tell you one, honey, I love taking the garbage out. We're human. We need encouragement. Exhortation. Can I say that again, simply what I mean? To come alongside someone with encouragements. You don't discourage people from serving God. Faith. A lot of people don't have much faith. To be firmly persuaded of God's power and promises to accomplish His will and purpose and to display such confidence in Him and His Word that circumstances and obstacles do not shake or change. Who would build a building in this economy? Are y'all crazy? Well, I've heard that. Well, you know something? When God shows you to do something, it takes faith to carry out what He's given you. I want to show you something in Hebrews. I don't have my regular preaching Bible. I hope I can go right to it. I want you to look at something tonight in Hebrews 11. Look in Hebrews 11 with me just a minute. And I want you to look in verse number 8. Something about faith. And let me tell you this. God's never, ever asked anybody to have blind faith. Faith is simply taking God at His Word to be true. God will send you a word and you've got to react on that word by faith. Now I want you to watch something what Abraham, the father of our faith, could have missed. Verse 8. Hebrews 11, 8. By faith, Abraham. What? Look here. When he was called to go out, that ain't blind faith. God called him to do something. Now, he could have stayed there. There's a lot of people don't mind God. I've got a heart. I want to mind Him more than what I want to do. Watch. He had a call. Well, how do I know God's dealing with me? Let me tell you something, friend. God's so big, you can't miss Him. Problem is, folks try to do something God never told them to do. Now watch. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out, look here, into a place which he should have to receive. God didn't show him where he is going. He just told him to go. Now watch this. He obeyed. And he went out not knowing. Now I preach this a lot of times out in this church. You know, not knowing but knowing. That's like when the Lord gave me that vision for that wing, Brother Tim. Knowing, but really not knowing how He's going to do it. But I knew God had given me a word. God had gave Abraham a word. He called him. He reacted by faith. Now watch. He went out not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. He dwelled in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. Now, his faith affected others. Your faith will affect others. Oh, how we need people with a gift of faith. During hard times, when the offerings aren't where they ought to be. Preacher, God's going to take care of it. A sickness comes and it looks awful, preacher. God's going to handle that. Boy, we need the gift of faith operating in our church. And then, giving. Some of you, it just absolutely bends you over backwards to give. Now quit looking down. We ain't praying right now. We're preaching. Giving. Romans 12, verse number 8. Look at here tonight. Romans 12, verse number 8. God says in Romans 12 and verse number 8, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. I love giving around people that are liberal givers. They help you. Well, they'll be a blessing to you. Some of you, it's so easy to give above even what God asked you to. That's a gift that God has given you. To share what material resources you have with liberality and cheerfulness without thought of return. You know something that would help some of you older folks? A lot of times my girls want something and, you know, it's just borderline. You know, you feel it if you do it, Brother Mike. And you know, but I found this. Let's say that I leave $1,000 for my young'uns. I'd rather spend it on them now, Brother Lee, and watch them, see them enjoy it, than to leave it and let them fight over it. Talk to a family today. They all divided because one, they can't get their squabble sorted out about the giving. Well, let me tell you something why God has blessed this church. Because of giving. I can show you in this book where the Bible says that the man of God is worthy of double honor. Paul says, is this such a strange thing that a man works in a vineyard and lives out of the vineyard? Giving. I'm glad that we give to God's people. I'm glad we give to hurting people. I'm glad we ain't got $100,000 in a cemetery fund. That would be a shame and a disgrace where I preach that if that was, and where you go to church at, that'd be a shame and a disgrace. A church should be a channel, not a reservoir. Giving the gospel out, ministering and helping. I know churches buy CDs. If you want a CD, you can see the sound man after service. You can do whatever you want to with that. Amen. God's not sending this kind of money in this church for us to sit down and squander it. 30% comes straight off the top into our annual mission budget. It's not a budget. It's just a checkbook, but ain't got nothing in it. We can't write nothing out of it. And I thank God for people that give. And you ought to try it sometime. It sure will help your life. Giving.
I know some of y'all are glad I'm moving. Healing. To be used as a means through which God makes people whole, either emotional, mentally, or spiritually. Hospitable. Boy, we need to be hospitable. Look in 1 Peter 4 in verse number 9. 1 Peter 4 in verse number 9. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. To warmly welcome people, even strangers, into the fellowship and church as means of serving those in need. Hospitality. Knowledge. To seek to learn as much about spiritual things as you can. Leadership. Romans 12 and 8. To stand before the people, to direct the body with such care and diligence, so as to motivate others to get involved in the accomplishments of goals. Mercy. Romans 12 and 8. To be sensitive toward others who are suffering with deeds to alleviate their distress. A missionary. Ephesians 3, 6 and 8. To be able to minister in another culture. The pastor. Ephesians 4 and 11, to be responsible for spiritually caring for and protecting, guiding, and feeding a group of believers entrusted to one's care. Prophecy, to speak forth a message of God to the people. Romans 12 and 7, that of service. To identify undone tasks in God's work and use available resources to get it done. I want to say something about housekeeping. You say, well, we have a housekeeper. We sure do. And I thank God for it. But we ought to help him in housekeeping. We ought to try to pick our pew up when we leave. Pick up under our pew when we leave. Teaching. Romans 12 and 7, to instruct others in biblical doctrines for understanding and growth. I asked you the other week, I gave you a tool on a website. Maybe you was not able to get there, but it's simply mintools.com. Mintools.com. Click spiritual gift test, 30 questions. So easy, it can give you your mainline gift of that moves you and motivates you. Maybe it's giving, maybe it's mercy. And let me tell you something about that before I move on tonight. If my mainline gift of prophecy, I've got to understand that everybody don't see things the way I do. We need mercy to balance me out. Amen? You get two prophets live in a house together, you know what you'll have? You'll have a dog fight. They always butting heads. We need balance. Sure, God sends exactly what we need in the body. So therefore, He sends and He brings balance. And then, not only have we seen information and insistence and instruments, but look fourthly tonight at instinction. Back to that key verse where He said in Ephesians 4 and verse number 16, He says, according to the effectual working. You know what that means? It simply means every part does it naturally, instinct. It obeys the head and reacts to it. Now, motor skills are very important. Watch. My mind is telling my hand to reach this pen. That's instinctively to me. And that's the way we ought to be operating in the body of Christ, instinctively. Put and so fit in the body together that we react just instinctively. Everybody doing their gift, doing their part. And I'm going to tell you, folks, we'll have a church working like none other. We've got some of the best people in the South. We got a big God. We got the right kind of Bible. We got the facilities.
What we need to do is every person find their gift and get in it and stay in it and operate. I wonder how many people has been in and out of this church in 19 years. They'd line up from here to Jonesville Curve. I don't know why people leave. I know why some do. But if people will get in their gift and get happy with what God's called you to do. God's not called me to be a teacher. I've got to be apt to teach with my qualifications. But I'm going to tell you, I love preaching. I mean, I love exhorting, encouraging, charging. I would be miserable in a robe in an environment with a box fan around my pulpit. First church, Brother Chair, I went and preached this. A little lady said, "Well, preacher, we like you if you just stay still." So I can't stay still. I'm just being me. And that's all any of us can do is just be ourselves and get happy with what God's called us to be. Some of y'all tickle me. You think if a preacher don't get loud and red-faced, he ain't preaching. God calls preachers different. And He puts them in this body to make it work together. And I thank God He does. I tell you a ministry that God has added to this church. You take Brother Dwayne Hagg. Now, Brother Dwayne don't agree with squirrels. But I love the old boy. He may not sit down and eat squirrels with me and Braden. But you know what? He's got a ministry that this church really needs and is a blessing to have him springboard out of. God's added to the body. It may be simple things, so simple, but yet very important. This little finger, you think you may not need it till you hurt it. So we find tonight instinction. Just, and then watch what it says lastly. He says, in the measure of every part maketh, here it is, increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Increase of the body. You know why God sent you here? To increase this body. You know why God sent you here? To increase His total body. Put us together for increase. God's never put us here to sit down and do nothing. God not only saved us to get us out of hell, He put a mission in us to go far. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, preacher, I can't preach the gospel. Well, you can live the gospel. Matter of fact, they're going to do more what you're living than what you're talking about anyway. Do your part. Do your part. Increase of the body. I want to say, we need outreach. There's people dying, going to hell in our community right by our church doors every week. Outreach. Thank God we've got outreach, but we need more outreach. We need more missionaries. I think, you know, I'm not going to be caught up in numbers, but I think mainly what we've got some 32 in Macedonia, 11 in-house, that's what, 43 missionaries out of this ministry. That's impactful. That's why God's blessing. Outreach. Then worship. Man, do your part in worship. Some of the fellas told me this way, said, "Preacher, I don't know why I stood up Sunday night. The devil beat me up." Well, no wonder he beat you up. When you mind God, the devil's going to beat you up. You wouldn't believe the times I've left here and preached, minded God, and the devil said, "You're crazy." And that's when I need a lot of you to say, "Preach, you're not crazy." Worship. This body needs stability. Hard times is going to come to your house and mine. But listen, folks, we got stability. We don't have drama teams and shenanigans going. We've got the preached word of God in our church, something you can stand on and be grounded on tonight. We need stability. Our young people need stability. They need homes to stay together. They need mom and daddies to reconcile and get over life and live for the glory of God. Our young people need stability. It's amazing where our cultures went because there's no stability, and it left from preaching the Word of God in the church houses. Stability. Oh, we need stability. Witness. We need a great witness. The community knows this church is here, I'll guarantee you that. Witness. If the police have a homeless person, they know where to bring him. Lastly, a heritage. Leaving something behind for others. I'd hate to know that I was going to leave about $1 million in this world and family fight over it and I've done nothing for Christ. Amen. A heritage. Our babies need a heritage. You look at the generation. Brother Dwayne turned a light on me Sunday morning when he had those 39 and down stand up. That's the generation. There's some, I think, 53 million. Brother David had a thought with that. He said, "Preacher, you ever thought about this?" But Brother Dwayne, is that right? 53 million, is that... That close. Let me ask y'all something. 53 million. How much reproduction would have come out of 53 million people? That's just not 53 million souls. That's 53 million that has been brought out of our country that would reproduce like God said do. How many preachers is missing in that generation? How many deacons is missing? How many church organizations is missing out of that 53 million people? You think about it. It's astounding. We need a heritage. And we've got to work in this body of Christ that He's put us. Everybody do their part. We don't have room for jealousy. We can't sing everybody one service. Everybody can't preach one service. Everybody can't teach one. But we can all pray every service. We can all love each other every service. Appreciate you being here tonight. Stand with us. Sure, I'm glad I'm in the body of Christ. Father, we love you tonight.